Hey there, how are you doing? I am Kristen Ann James, but you can call me CJ, and you're listening to the Shine to 5 Method with CJ. I'm your host. In this podcast, I will be having authentic conversations with amazing women who have found their shine and are walking in their purpose. Because you want to know why? They know the importance of working on their mindset. Their stories are unique and relatable, sometimes at the same time, because we are all on this journey called life. I want these conversations to serve as encouragement to each and every one of you who feels stuck, that it's time to get your head in the game and find your shine. The world is waiting. Let's get into it. Joining me today is Sheila Cummins, and she is the CEO and founder of The Road to 7. And we're going to be talking about tapping into your zone of genius. But before we get into the conversation, I want to give Sheila a moment to shine and tell us more about yourself, anything that you would like us to know. And thank you so much for being here with me today, Sheila.
Well, first of all, thank you for opening your platform to me. That means the world. So, you know, what makes me shine? And I think it's, you know, the answer to this question is kind of the premise of our whole interview today. What makes me shine is being able to positively impact others. You know, I wake up every day and my mantra has always been the same. What can I do today to leave a powerful footprint on the world? And the place that I love to leave my footprint is in the world of women entrepreneurship. And I do that because it has opened up so many doors and opportunities to me and has enabled me to align a financial income with the values that I have. And I started my business so that I could be the primary caregiver for my children and have flexible hours. And, you know, my kiddos are getting bigger now and they don't need me as much, but it has done just that. And so I help and we provide coaching and training, and soon we're going to be providing financing to women entrepreneurs so that they can build their fulfilling and freedom-based business.
Oh, wow. And thank you very much for sharing that. Also, so nice segue, we're talking about your zone of genius. Now, this is a term I wasn't very familiar with until I started working with you, Sheila. And it just makes complete sense because we do, each of us, a few of us might have more zones than others, but we do have a zone of genius. But what does that mean to someone who's never heard that term before?
That's such a great question. And first, I need to make clear that this is not my concept. I was first introduced to the idea through a book by Gay Henderson called The Big Leap. And it talked about people's zone of competence, zone of expertise, zone of genius. And it really just made sense to me. And the reason it makes so much sense is when someone's thinking about starting a business, what we want to do is find that intersection between a need that there is in the world with a genius or an expertise or skill that someone might have. And when you can find that intersection, that is where the power of your business lies. And so the zone of genius really, in its most simplest form, can be described as, what can I do that solves a problem that is easy, intuitive, doesn't take too much work for me to do? Other people think, how on earth do you do that? But for me, it's really easy, and they're willing to pay money for what it is that you do. That is sort of in its most bare bones, rudimentary definition, non-textbooky version of what a zone of genius is.
Yeah. And as you explained it, it makes complete sense, because when I think about what I do, of course, there are other coaches who do what I do. But when you explained it like that, I'm like, yes, this is absolutely, I want to specifically help women who are going through that transition from employee to entrepreneur, using my experience, using my knowledge, using my training, and knowing, because I can have that unique approach to be able to serve them and to be able to help them, I feel like that is my zone of genius. Now, next question. When we are starting a business, even as now, you know, a few years into your business, we have a lot of great ideas. Some of them could be a little bit shinier than others. Mm-hmm. And we might have a few zones or a few things that we're really interested in. How do we know
when to identify of those shiny things, when to identify this just one thing as this is the zone I need to focus on. This is where I need to put my energy right now as I grow my business.
I think that's such a great question, CJ. And I think that this shiny object syndrome is really important to identify. And I think that we all bring so much to the world. We don't necessarily know what it is that we bring, but we all have the ability and capability to positively influence the world. And I am a big fan of experiential learning. Mm. And, you know, I think that there's so much validity to just trying. And so when you're sitting in that, you know, the cubicle and you're like, oh my gosh, I just want to work for myself. Sometimes you just have to take that leap and try something. And when you're trying it, you're looking for a problem that there is in the world where you may have a solution to help that person. And then what we do is sort of figure out how you help them and then leverage the strengths that you bring. You know, one of the things that makes you such a powerful coach for women making the transitions is not only your experience and your expertise, but also those unspoken rules of the insights, the ability to ask questions, your coaching techniques, the clarity you provide people, the ability to take something that feels complex and turn it into simple steps. You know, those are all part of your genius, but until you try helping somebody through that problem, it's really hard to identify. And so if you are someone who has multi-interests or mm-hmm. different areas that you think you could maybe play, mm-hmm. then just try it and see what happens. And you'll very quickly feel which ones are in alignment with who you are and which ones are out of alignment. And when something's out of alignment, it feels prickly, it feels tricky, it feels really hard, and there's something that's preventing you from taking that step. When something's easy, it's going to come to you with flow. You're going to make those moves regardless of whatever's sitting on the end of it. So for example, if you're somebody who's really creative, you could say, I'm really creative with paper. I think I want to make wedding invites, but the wedding invites aren't selling. You can't find brides. You don't know anyone who's getting married. They're kind of getting boring for doing this. But then you think, wow, I'm really good at origami. And people keep asking me for different origami shapes for the middle of the table. And so I think that it's sort of showing you right there which path is the one that's needed the most and wanted the most and is in alignment with your genius a little bit the most, but it's still using your ability to fold paper.
Right. And when somebody, you know, sitting in the cubicle and they just know, I want out, and they have hobbies, they're things that they're passionate about. And I know you, when you talk about like really finding your zone or understanding, you know, where your zone lies, is what you ask that question of what is a problem that I solve. So is that something that you feel like someone sitting in the cubicle, that should be one of the first questions that they ask? Or should they just kind of tap into, and as you, like you just said, try, they know, I have this hobby. I want to leave my 9-to-5. I'm just going to do this thing. Without really kind of checking, is this something that people actually need? Is this something that I can turn into a sustainable business?
So what's interesting is the very first question that we have to ask has to be one of the biggest questions that drive our life choices. And that's, what is the impact that I want to have in this world? What is my legacy going to be? That legacy is going to be tied to the problem that there is in the world that you want to solve. And then you got to do that internal check of, am I passionate about solving this problem? And we have to know what the passion is, CJ, because there's going to be days when you're running your business where it's going to be hard to put one foot in front of the others, where it's going to feel like the world is stacked up against you, when it feels like everything that you're doing isn't working. That's a normal part of the entrepreneurial journey. And if we don't have that passion that's driving us, or that desire or need to impact someone else's life and make the world a better place, it's really hard to keep putting one foot in front of the other, because it is then just a job.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the very first question is, what is the impact I want to have? What is the problem that I need to solve in all order to do that? And what are the skills and strengths that I'm bringing to the table that could help be the solution for that problem? Mm-hmm. And so it's a little bit of a reverse engineer. And what I see a lot of people do is they start at the beginning. They say, well, I want to do more paper folding, but they haven't actually looked at the larger picture. Anybody can do paper folding, but not a lot of people can, you know, help individuals create a unique space using various origami, you know, shapes
or
be able to, you know, or be able to share messages of hope and joy through these artistic pieces and bring sparkle to someone's day. You know, it's not about what it is that you sell. It's about the impact of what you sell. Mm-hmm. And that has to be where we start the business from.
Right. Yeah. And I think that's where, I, of course, I'm sitting here nodding. I'm like, yep, absolutely. Where we, because we are, can be so driven by wanting to start our own business or wanting to be your own boss and almost get tunnel vision. And I've had conversations with women who they don't necessarily know what they want to do. They just know that they want to do something. Yeah. These are the skills I have. These are the things I like doing. And I am so over the whole 9-to-5 thing. And I want to be able to spend more time with my kids, or I want to be able to be in control of my time, that they focus on that. So these are very, very important questions that each and every one of us, even now, I can still ask myself that question, like, what is the impact and what is the problem that I'm solving? And the next question I had was, when we being multi-passionate, and we have found our zone. And as entrepreneurs, we evolve. What we're doing, what I was doing when I first started my business 5 years ago, it's grown. Some parts of it is bigger than I am. And when I reflect, I'm like, wow, like I've really come a long way. So with that evolution that happens as an entrepreneur, is that also saying that they need to shift their focus in their zone, or it's just like the zone has expanded? Do you know what I mean? It's just like a bigger area that they need to focus on now because they have grown so much.
I think that's such a great question. You know, I think we do evolve as entrepreneurs, and, you know, I think our social situations will change, and our socioeconomic situations may change, and our family dynamics will change, and the world changes around us. Mm-hmm. And I think that that ability to remain fluid while in alignment is one of the gifts of entrepreneurship. You know, when you're hired to be an EA at a company, your job is pretty defined no matter what's happening in the world. When you are a virtual assistant for various small businesses, doing similar type work, and you find that you have more of a desire to help people spread their message, you can evolve the offerings that you have to sort of match that passion. And so I think that that fluidity is something that sometimes when I see people start a business, they're like, well, this is what I do and this is what I sell. And they're not open to changing that. But the reality is your business is going to grow and change as you grow and change. And, you know, I call it being in fight with your business. Like, you know, when your business isn't fitting you anymore. And, you know, sometimes it's that things aren't selling or it doesn't feel right. Or you kind of keep selling, but you have that pit in your stomach of, oh no, I got to do more of this work. Like, I actually, you know, or I'm already at capacity. How am I going to bring more people on? Like, there's indicators that your business doesn't fit you anymore. And so you've got to go back and say, am I still passionate about this? You know, is this still in alignment with my values? Am I doing the work that is within my genius, or have I slipped into doing work that just has to be done and is part of the mundane? And, you know, there's a lot, let's take bookkeeping, for example. You know, as we grow our business, there is a need for bookkeeping because the financial health of our company is indicative of the wealth that we're bringing.
Right.
When you're running a business with zero profit margin, it's really tricky to be building up your bank accounts. So the bookkeeping may be something that you do when you get started. And then as your business grows, it may be something that never quite makes it onto your to-do list, for example.
Right.
It's not necessarily your zone of genius. And so you had to do it when you were starting, but now it's a really good time to outsource that and hire someone to manage the books for you, and then you oversee them. And so how you spend your time in your business is equally as important as aligning the business with a passion or a purpose. And that's where that zone of genius comes in. So for example, I'm really good at creating content. One of my genii is taking complex concepts and breaking them down into small, manageable chunks, and then taking that concept and articulating it and sharing it with a wide variety of learners. That is, I'm a recovering teacher. Curriculum development and curriculum design are two things that I love to do. It's easy for me. People are always asking me for help to design their courses and their products. Like it just makes sense to me. That is my genius. So for me to spend hours and hours and hours trying to create an Instagram post, it's just not worth my time. You know, we have a mutual friend, Dee Boswell Bach, and she helps me with my Instagram and my LinkedIn because I'm just not good at it. But you put me in front of an audience, you give me the opportunity to speak, you give me the opportunity to teach, you give me the opportunity to build content for a program, to teach it, to facilitate it, to offer the coaching and the spot for the people that are in my programs. That's where I excel. But me putting together social media posts is not in my genius. It's not even in my zone of competence. I'm just not good at it. And so that is something where I have to allocate some of my revenue so that I can have people supporting the areas that are outside of my genius so that I can have the impact that I want to have. And it's a hard move to make. One of the hardest things I've ever done, CJ, is give up the coaching in my programs. And, you know, one of the things that I realized is there are a lot of really, really good coaches out there who probably coach better than me, but nobody can create my curricula. Nobody can develop my content. Nobody can come up with that thought leadership, the way of analyzing, looking at, sharing, teaching, building the spreadsheet, coming up with the workbook. That's all me. Now, somebody else can design the workbook, but the what's in it is on me because that's where I excel. And coaching is something where I had to let other people step in, people like you, CJ, who are so good at their craft, so that I could focus more on where I excelled. And that is truly growing the business to match your zone of genius. And it's hard to give away those pieces, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. And do you find people deal with guilt when they have to, if they have evolved and their businesses have evolved? And they have to let certain things, and I might be speaking from experience, and they have to let certain things go. Mm-hmm. Do you think it's a guilt that they have to also work through that I can't do this anymore, or I don't want to do this anymore? And they feel like once you start the business and this is your baby and you've worked so hard on it and you've been doing all the things and this just doesn't fit anymore. And they spend some time having to work through now, I got to let this go.
Yeah.
Would guilt be the word you think that we would do to describe it?
Or responsibility or expectation or should. I think we should use the word should in this instant. And whatever defines the should, I think, is individual to the person. And, you know, I think the hardest conversations I've had is when someone actually wants to close down the business that they've built, but they've invested time and energy and money, you know, time away from their family. They neglected certain areas of their life. So they feel like they should follow it through, but it doesn't serve them. They don't enjoy it. And, you know, one of the things, I've shut down three companies on the way to the road to seven, to where I am now. And one of the things that I had to really hang on to is, yes, I invested all this time and energy and money into building this company. But the truth is, that was an investment in getting me to where I am today. And so our job is to look at those things that we're letting go or that we're shutting down. Maybe it's shutting down your whole business and saying, what can I take from there? What is the learning that's in there for me that I can use through this next iteration of what it is that I do? I also feel like there's a big conversation within women where it's, well, I shouldn't be spending the money to have somebody help me with this. You know, and let's even go as simple and bare bones as having a house cleaner or somebody to help you with your laundry. You know, well, it's a luxury to have somebody come in and help me with my house. Like I shouldn't be spending money on that. That money should be going elsewhere. When you have allocated the funds to take something off your plate that is soul sucking and that you really dislike, which then liberates you to do more of the work that you love, where you shine, where you can have impact, and which, by the way, is also going to make you top dollar, it would be ludicrous for you to keep going and saying, no, I got to do my old laundry. You know, I'm the only one who can do it. I can't spend money on that. So I think that there's a lot of expectations and stories that we bring to what should or should not happen. And I think guilt would be a word. I think expectations or you know, our history, our stories. My mom never had a house cleaner, therefore I shouldn't. She always managed, therefore I shouldn't have to. You know, like it's, we all have our own thing, but at some point we have to give ourselves permission to be happy. Give ourselves permission to thrive and, you know, using your words, to shine and to sparkle. And sometimes that means we got to let go of things that we used to be wedded to having, be it your business, be it a program you have, be it, you know, hiring or letting go of things outside of your work. Mm-hmm. We deserve more.
We do. So I'm going to let go of the word guilt then. And I'm going to say I gave myself permission to evolve and to let my the other parts, my zone, expand my zone. But it can seem really hard when we spent so much, like you said, time and money and neglected other areas. And it's like, now I have to let this go. It's because, when you really take that step back, you realize it doesn't fit anymore. It just doesn't make sense to do it anymore. And you might sit on the decision and you know what you should be doing. And it's just being able to, again, take that leap and say, okay, just like you took the leap to start something, you got to sometimes take that leap to end certain things.
And it's scary. Closing that door is scary. But there are, you got to sometimes close the door to be able to open the next one. And, you know, especially for your people that are leaving the corporate. You know, CJ, I love the process that you bring in place for your clients and that you coach them through to help make that transition less risky. But there is going to come a point where you got to just jump with 2 feet.
Yeah.
And you got to be all in, and you got to just take that leap and make it happen. And, you know, the shoulds could cripple you in that moment. If you're sitting there saying to yourself every day, well, I should have stayed at my job. I should have had that financial security. There's no way I should have been out on my own. And listen, I get it. I left a full-time teaching job at one of the most prestigious schools here in Toronto. I was incredibly well paid. I had a full pension plan, full health plan. Like, I don't think there's anybody out there who would have said, Sheila, I think it's a great idea for you to give all that security up and go out on your own and start something that doesn't even have an entity to it yet, that you don't even know what it is. You know, but if I hadn't, I probably would have done it differently now in hindsight, and I would have followed your process and your strategies more, but I didn't know you then. But you know, I did, and it was sort of like a, you know, burn the bridge. I was on the island and I had to burn the bridge, and therefore I had to build the boat so that I can make it back to mainland. And sometimes you just have to have your back up against the wall to make those big moves that are really, really scary.
That's a perfect way to, and I have a question. The next question is, what do you have coming up that people need to keep an eye out from Sheila Cummins and the Road to 7?
Well, we have a live event happening in September. It's the second week on the Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And you can keep an eye on the Road to 7 Instagram, Facebook, email, you know, LinkedIn, Bad Signal, whatever. but that's a really exciting 3 days. And I'm really excited about it because I'm designing it so that it gives entrepreneurs an opportunity to just reboot, refocus, recharge. You know, it's been one heck of a year and a half. And I think people are exhausted. And they just need the space and grace to be able to refocus on them and realign with those things that are important to them, refigure out where their genius is, where they're going to have impact, and then start to identify those moves. And that's what the 3 days are going to be designed to do.
And, you know, as you describe it, I remember when I attended your live event, and it was definitely, and I'm not just saying this because you're sitting in front of me, but it was one of the best decisions I had made for myself and for my business. So if anyone's listening and they need that recharge, and it's come, that event is coming up, Follow the Road to 7. Now, Sheila, before I let you go, is there a nugget that you want to leave listeners with? Something that you, a favorite quote, to something that just resonates with you? I just want to remind these women, this is what you need to hold on to as you make these difficult decisions.
I don't have an eloquent quote to sum it up, but I think that there's a concept that we as women need to embrace that's focused around the world trust. Mm-hmm. We need to trust ourselves that we have what it takes to do what it is that we want and have the impact that we want to have and earn the revenue that we want to earn. It's all within us, and it's just up to us to take those strategic small actions each and every day in order to make it happen. And it's not always going to feel comfortable, and you're not always going to feel confident, but you are going to need to tap into being courageous and getting clear on what it is that you're really good at doing and matching that genius that you have with a need in the world so that we collectively are making the world a better place.
Thank you so much, Sheila, for being here with me today and sharing some of your genius with me and my listeners. I absolutely adore you and everything that you do. So I am so honored that you're here with me today. Thank you.
Privilege is all mine. Thank you.
Well, we've come to the end of the episode. And girl, can I just say that I hope that you enjoyed listening to this conversation as much as I enjoyed being a part of it. How inspired are you feeling right now? Be sure to subscribe so that you don't miss out on what we have coming up, because these will just keep getting better and better. If you're a young woman ready to get out of that grind to five rut and find your shine to five purpose, connect with me on my website, kristennjames.com. Take care until next time. And as I always say, have a sparkling day.